Welcome to the Lightning Round.
Welcome.
Hello, and welcome to episode 20 of the Dave Kirshner Lightning Round podcast. I am your host, Dave Kirshner, and it is week 35 of the 46 Quadrennial Hunger Games. And wow, you can't make some of this stuff up. Well, the 20th anniversary of September 11th has come and gone. There were some pretty good tributes out there during the weekend, but you know, Biden's gonna be Biden. But, you know, I did not expect George W. Bush to equate the terrorist attacks on our country to what occurred on January 6th. That was a bit of a, it made me go, he said, what? I had to go reread it. I was like, what? Where's the audio file for that? Oh my gosh, I can't believe he even said that. But, so, we know Stumbling Bumbling Biden, and he just sucks. So, what to do? You know, I mean, short of throwing your hat in the political ring, which I would not do. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. That's just it's a clown show wrapped up in a nightmare. Unfortunately, Larry Elder out in California lost. Well, he didn't lose. He didn't actually run. He was just attached to the recall that they were trying to do out in California for the governor. And in California, you can recall the governor if you have 50.1% of the state population vote to remove him. And so it's a two-question quiz, basically. Do you want to recall Governor Newsom? Yes or no? And if you say yes, then you get to answer the second question. Who should replace him? And the ballot had, I don't know, 10, 20 names on it. And Larry Elder, who's a syndicated conservative talk show host, who is also black, was smeared at every step of the turn, every step of the way throughout this. They called him the black face of white supremacy. You had some weird girl in a gorilla mask and pink hair trying to throw eggs at him. I mean, that's the tolerant left. Only the tolerant left could call a black man the face of white supremacy. The black face of white supremacy or something like that? I don't know. It was just, I was like, they said what? They, my God, these people are stupid. And then they go out and start whipping eggs at him. Anyway, the recall failed, unfortunately. Because over 60% of the people in California like living in socialist hell, apparently. Because that, I think a 60, 62% maybe, voted no on the recall. Some of those could have been just, you know what, we don't need this crap. He's up for re-election in 2022. So, you know, we'll vote him out then. So, I don't know. I don't know what the demographics were. I did see a map, though. So, The areas that voted to retain this idiot in the state of California is everything within 100 miles of the coast. So if you look at all the counties that go north to south along the coast, those all voted to keep him. The counties making up the interior of California voted to remove him. Unfortunately for Californians, the bulk of the population lives within 100 miles of the coast. So, that's what you get. Unfortunately, Biden's... We're changing gears. We're going to go back to the jackassery of Biden and his policies. See, this is what happens when you let Democrats anywhere near an elected office. And I said it last week, and I've been saying it since the podcast started, that Democrats, they absolutely positively could screw up a wet dream. They will figure out a way to do it. So, we now have this idiot in charge. Well, in name only, because we know he's actually not in charge. But they took a robust economy, did everything they could to kill it, crash it, steamroll it, stomp on it into an oblivion. Wow, what do you know? How do we do that? Well, they weren't having any luck in the election in ballot boxes. So they still, at the state level, most of the states are still controlled by Republicans. It's when you have a Democrat governor with a Republican state representative house, state house of representatives, the state house controlled by Republicans, that they can go out and override. So we did see that last week where the governor, Democrat governor, was trying to shoehorn in all these mask mandates and all whatnot. And the Republican state house, they stripped all of that out of his bill. And then he did a couple line item vetoes where the members of the state house were going to put any mask decisions squarely on the shoulders where it belonged, which was the local school districts, not a one-size-fits-all out of the governor's mansion. So he line item vetoes a couple things out of this. And because they had a majority. They actually got a lot of bipartisan support at both levels on the state side. And so they overrode his veto. And so as soon as I find that article, I can tell you what state it was in. But I say good for them. All right, well, I paused my recording and then I went and found it. It was Kentucky. So the Republican-led Kentucky General Assembly soundly rejected Governor Andy Beshear's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic on Thursday night, overriding his vetoes of two bills that stripped the Democrat governor's ability to issue statewide mask mandates in school or anywhere else. Good job, Kentucky. That's all I got to say about that. But, I mean, you're seeing that more and more. So the court systems are being utilized because Republicans are still trying to fight fair in a gentleman's game. Meanwhile, the Democrats are sneaking up behind them with a shiv that they've keistered. And if that doesn't work, then they'll get another Democrat to sneak up behind you with a little knife and they'll just cut your Achilles tendon. That's how the Democrats fight. And we're out there going, oh, bloody hell, you can't shoot the officers. There'd be no order. We must have order. I'm telling you, as soon as these Republicans start figuring out that it's not a fair fight, somebody needs to get punched in the throat. That'll stop them. It drives me absolutely bonkers. Anyway, you get a Democrat in the White House and two things are going to happen. Inflation's going to go up and so are your taxes. And lo and behold, both of them have come to fruition. Anyway, what I was saying before, they took a robust economy They couldn't get the guy out. They knew they were going to get their ass handed to them in 2020. Hey, man. Hey, China, what you got? I'm telling you, this smells more and more and more like a big old fat conspiracy. And I'll tell you why. That it's making me think that. Because a book is about to come out where the authors, where did they go? Bob Woodward and Robert Costa have written a book. And in it, they detail out how the Joint Chief of Staff, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, basically, how best to describe this? What he basically did was he called his counterpart in China while Trump was president and said, hey, don't worry about it. You know, if we're going to attack, you know, I'll call you and let you know. I shit you not. That's what he did. That guy needs to be stripped of rank and booted. So he does that. And while Trump was president, he went through and spoke to the CIA director, Gina Haspel. He spoke with the head of the NSA, Paul Nakasone. Nakasone. Oh. And crying Chuck Schumer and skeletal-faced Nancy Pelosi was a Skeletor. She reminds me of Skeletor every time I see her. But it's something that's really disconcerting that he's talking to these people. And the person that he's supposed to report to is the President of the United States and the President of the United States alone. I don't know why he would be coordinating anything with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, but it's crazy. So he calls his counterpart and says, hey, I'll call you, give you a heads up if we're going to attack you, okay? He also went around the National Military Command Center and demanded that everybody in attendance at this meeting he'd called, basically, not to put too fine a point on it, I don't know exact words, but basically said you need to swear allegiance to me and not to the president because the president basically can't be trusted. So the National Military Command Center is the people with the football, with the launch codes. And he basically told them that if you get a call from the president and he wants the football and he wants the codes or he wants to launch, do whatever, you need to call me first and I'll let you know if you should do it. That's called a coup. And predictably, because this person was working in opposition to President Trump, he's being lauded as a hero by the left. Because anything that went against Trump, A, is to be celebrated, and B, is completely free of consequence. You can do whatever you want, as long as it's against Trump. You do that, nobody's pressing charges. You're never going to get arrested. You're never going to jail. As long as you're working in concert to bring down Trump, then it's perfectly allowable. This is the kind of shit that makes me think the Democrats went to extraordinary lengths and they needed a point person and they got one in Fauci. I don't know. It's looking more and more like if the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is having a phone call with his counterpart in the Chinese military, that call is recorded. They impeached Trump because these little weasels were listening in on his calls. So you're telling me that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs has a phone call with a foreign military leader, and the NSA doesn't say boo? The CIA? Nothing? See, this is the kind of shit that Trump was up against. There's no way for a sitting president to know whether somebody is working in the best interests of you and your administration, or if they're working to thwart you at every turn. I mean, seriously, the only thing you could do, which is be completely, it would be such a huge burden, is to fire them all every time there's a new president. And then have the president go through and his staff go through and vet every single one of these civilians. Because basically, see, that's the thing that really irritates me, is that these people, I'm not a big fan of unions for one simple thing. I don't mind unions working for, you know, better working conditions, better pay, better benefits, whatever. It's when the unions get in the way and prohibit you from removing underperforming employees and have been underperforming for years. They've been put on improvement plans and they've had, you know, what are your skill sets? Maybe we'll move you to a different department or whatever. But that's the part that I don't like, is, and this particularly, this hits home for me because my wife is a school teacher. So it's the protection of the bad teachers, the teachers that aren't doing their job, but, you know, they've got tenure. So they're basically unfireable unless they sleep with a student, or, you know, they're doing blow on their desk in the middle of class. You know, and even then they would get reprimanded. But, I mean, it's that kind of stuff. So, I mean, Reagan went in and he just fired the lot of those air traffic controllers. He was like, all right, guys, you want to do that? You want to stand out, or what's the word? What they wanted to walk out, and they wanted to demand this and demand that. And he was like, you know what? Screw you. You're fired. That was bold. That was brave. And we've got these unelected bureaucrats behind the scenes pushing buttons and pulling levers. And it's becoming more and more disconcerting, to put it mildly. So do with that as you will. But the chairman of the Joint Chiefs basically committed treason. And I guarantee you nothing's going to happen to this guy. He's going to be allowed to retire. He's going to be allowed to keep his retirement pay and benefits, basically a pension. That's if they even force him out. But there's a couple members of the Senate that are, I think it's Rand Paul. He's saying, you're going to come talk to us, buddy. So we'll see what happens, but my guess is nothing will come of it. There'll be some hand-wringing and finger-pointing, and there'll be a, you know, pounding on the desk or whatever in the Senate chambers as they have investigative meetings, but nothing's going to come of it. It won't, because you have the haves and the have-nots, and the haves are never going to jail. Allah, I point to little Miss Chardonnay herself, Hillary Clinton. She violated so many federal laws with her server and her multiple BlackBerries, and her staff was emailing sensitive data to their private personal laptops and doing backups on their laptops. And when it came to light, they destroyed all the evidence. Nobody went to jail. Not one single person. Except for the perv that was out there trying to sleep with teenage girls. So, Johnny Danger or whatever, Danger or something. I don't remember what his name was, but he was an ugly bugger too. He was not an attractive man. Anyway, so now you got Democrats in power, and you know they're going to screw up anything that they try and touch. So, predictably, inflation's going up, and soon to be, your taxes. No kidding. It is a freaking mess. So, I got a hold of an article where the grocery store Kroger, which is a really large chain, they're all over the place up here in the Midwest. I don't know what their reach is. I know they recently bought Giant Eagle, maybe. I'm not sure. But Kroger came out and said they're issuing warnings to their customers and to their board, basically saying that the inflation has ballooned beyond what the company predicted. So those costs you're going to see in your grocery bill. And that's during a call with to report their second quarter earnings. Kroger said, "We are passing along higher costs to the customer where it makes sense to do so." So they estimated that we can expect to pay 2-3% more in the final quarter or two of the year, the final months of the year. So they said, what did this article say? "Inflation has been stalking American shoppers as consumer prices have risen. As of July, the consumer price index was up 5.4% from a year ago, the biggest year-to-year jump since the 2008 housing crisis." Awesome. Food prices have been a big part of the increase. Beef prices have gone up 14% this year. Pork has gone up 12%. And poultry's gone up 6%. Globally, July food prices were up 31% in year-over-year analysis. Wow. Now, meanwhile, the Biden administration has been trying to soft-pedal talk of the inflation. They, and predictably, they don't want to take the blame for this, so they're pointing the finger at the beef, pork, and poultry processors. Seriously? That's crazy. So their comment is, just four large conglomerates control the majority of the market for each of these three products, and the data show that these companies have been raising prices while generating record profits during the pandemic. So here's what's going on with that. Everybody was home. They were cooking meals at home instead of going out. Why? Because you locked us all in our homes. You said we couldn't go to work. So everybody's at home. People are stupid. So that's fun. But here comes the sucker punch. The Democrats are proposing tax hikes on the wealthy, because that's their favorite target, the people that actually generate jobs. Let's tax them so the businesses will close, they'll stop making profits, and then we can lay off all the employees, and then we can put them all on unemployment, and then they'll be at our beck and call because now they're beholden to the state. These people just... So, they're proposing a slew of tax hikes, and let's see, the first one they're going to do, they want to increase the top individual tax rate. And of course, a lot of these taxes that they're wanting to raise the rates on, those are the ones that Trump lowered. And when he lowered them, what happened? People had more money, people spent more money. The economy was revitalized after 8 years of a bummer. It's like these guys have never taken an economics class ever. They just make shit up. They're like, this sounds good. We'll tax them this much. And then they get some bean counter to come in and give them a basic rundown of, okay, so if we make this much money on individual tax rates for the top individuals, and that was the percentage that we were taxing them. So if they have their income stay the same, but we raise the tax percentage, how much more can we make there? And then that's their calculus. That's how they go about, okay, where can we get the most bang for the buck? And what's a good range for the what's too much? What we don't want to make it too little. We don't want to not change it. So we have to change it. So where's the bar that says that's too much? Because we'll go one below that. Okay, that'd be great. All right. So House Democrats are proposing reversing part of former President Trump's Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and restoring the top individual income rate to 39.6%. According to the Democrats' proposal, the tax hikes would apply to single individuals with taxable income of more than $452,000 and married couples with joint taxable income of $509,000, according to the president's $6 trillion budget proposal released earlier this year. So if the proposal comes law, it would apply during the 2022 tax year. Well, that's just awesome. Everything is awesome. They also want to raise taxes on capital gains. President Biden's spending plan would also increase taxes on capital gains. According to Fox Business, the top capital gains tax would climb to 39.6% from 20% for Americans earning more than $1 million, and that equates to about 500,000 households in the U.S. Yeah, that's fun. I'm not in that category, but that's just... let's take away the money from the people that are actually generating the employment. Brilliant! They want to increase levies on inherited assets. So basically, they want to completely eliminate levies on inherited assets. So under the current law, when an heir inherits an asset that has appreciated in value, they get a step up in basis, meaning they receive the holding at its current market value. Beneficiaries can sell those assets and pay capital gains based only on the time they receive the asset and the time that they sell it, allowing them to minimize the tax bite. The first $1 million of gains would be exempt from the end of the stepped-up basis, and there would be no tax if the gains are used for charitable donations. So, Biden wants to get rid of that. That makes sense. Of course he wants to get rid of that, because he wants all of your tax money to pay for all of their socialized programs, unemployment, food stamps, Medicare, Medicaid, all of it. They want it all. They want to also end private equity tax breaks. So, Democrat Senators Ron Wyden, W-Y-D-E-N, and Sheldon Whitehouse have proposed repealing the break for carried interest, which allows private equity fund managers to pay lower taxes on their earnings than they would for regular income. If the proposal passes, they would also be prohibited from deferring tax payments on those earnings. Well, I don't know any private equity fund managers, but I'm sure if I did and I asked them, they would say, oh, that's going to hurt. That's going to suck. But they want to, well, why stop there? They want to also raise taxes on corporations. President Biden is advocating for higher taxes on businesses, including hiking the corporate tax rate to 28% from 21%, rolling back a key part of Republicans' 2017 tax law. They are on a mission. They've got 2 years to undo everything Trump accomplished. Now, I'm not saying that this is an unheard of practice. Republicans did it all throughout Trump's presidency trying to undo all the crap that Obama did. But they're going for a record because they know that in 2 years, the American people, I mean, it's been six, 7 months. What are we? No, it's September. So it's been 8 months since that idiot was installed. And believe me, I am not saying installed for anything other than on purpose. I do not believe he was elected at all. So, I don't have buyer's remorse because I didn't vote for him. I know some people that did, and I'm getting real close to asking them if they've got buyer's remorse yet. You know, most of them, based on the things that I've heard them say, and some of the things that they have done since he was installed, makes me definitely think that they do definitely have buyer's remorse. I don't think that they ever had an inkling or the ability to foresee just how bad of a president this guy is. And the last thing that I've got for you this week is, I just think it's funny. So CNN hired a former MSNBC reporter named Casey Hunt. And Casey Hunt basically came out and said that the recall effort in California. So she comes out and says, one of the top Democrats in the country got caught living like an elite while everyone else suffered. Elites versus the rest is the driving force in our politics right now, and Democrats have a tough needle to thread both in California and nationwide. Democrats need to prove they can govern for everybody, and if you look at California, it's not necessarily the best test case for national Democrats. See the concern about homelessness, crime, etc. She went on to say that obviously California is a special place, but the fact that a Democratic national star in waiting had to face a recall and then had to fight extremely hard for it in order to not lose his governorship says a lot about the potential challenges Democrats face across the map. Especially if, and this is where she gets in trouble, right? So she was kind of tiptoeing around, but then she came out and said, especially if President Biden can't demonstrate he's capable of getting the resurgent pandemic under control, has another competence crisis a la Afghanistan, can't get his budget plan through Congress, etc. Cue the liberal outrage. They are lined up to smack this reporter around. How dare she say the silent thing out loud? How dare she say it? Hunt's former MSNBC colleague, Malcolm Nance, did not appreciate her analysis. Here it came right out and said, oh, this is just plain old stupid. Activist Darlene McDonald reacted, how does a really good news anchor get this so very wrong? We all make mistakes. I employ Ms. Hunt to take a second look at this and perhaps rewrite it with a renewed outlook. I'm not giving up on her. She's better than this take. Basically, you better go and edit that tweet to not disparage Democrats if you want to stay in our house. And, you know, that's a funny thing. So, my wife and I have been watching Blue Bloods. It's Tom Selleck. He's the New York City Police Commissioner. We're up to season 10. We've been watching it all year, you know, watch an episode here or there. And we finally made it all the way to episode 10. And, I mean, I'm telling you, it feels like a damn marathon sometimes. And, who was I talking to? Maybe it was Blue Bloods. I don't know. Tom Selleck, he's got some great one-liners in there. It's a really good show. Anyway, he said, you know, when anybody throws the word activist out there, I don't think it was Blue Bloods. Anyway, when somebody says the word activist, oh, she's an activist. Oh, he's an activist. What is the thing that jumps to mind when somebody says the word activist? And wherever I got this from, the person said, you never think of a Republican activist. Whenever you hear the word activist, you immediately think left-wing Democrat crazy people when you hear the word activist. So when I got to this part of the article, it said, activist Darlene McDonald reacted. And I just went, ha ha! And then when I read you her quote, it drove home the point, she's a Democrat. And this whole article just made me chuckle. CNN is known for presenting opinion hosts such as Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo as anchors, in quotes. But USA Today editor Doug Farrar responded that Hunt gets reporting and opinion confused to a truly gobsmacking degree. She didn't say anything that wasn't true. Not in my opinion. Did Governor Newsom get caught living like an elite? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Does it feel like elites versus the rest of the world is what is driving politics right now? Well, if you believe the Democrats, yeah. Because they don't want you to join their ranks. Because the elites, you got the coastal elites. They don't want you. That's why they're keeping their heel on your frickin' neck. So, you know, what can you do? And let's see, what else did they say? John Legend. Oh, everybody cares what musician John Legend says. Daily Beast columnist Wajahat Ali called it terrible analysis, while conservative writer Carmine Sabia noted, Casey Hunt nailed it and liberals are pissed. Yep, there you go. Far left former MSNBC star Keith Olbermann declared, it's genuinely hard to believe you have spent any days prior to this one covering politics. So you brought out an activist, you brought out your former co-workers, and now here's Keith Olbermann poking his head from outside the log that he's been living in. Musician John Legend even reprimanded CNN's new reporter. He faced a recall because it's ridiculously easy to start a recall in California. He won in a landslide that probably won't reflect much erosion from his last election, if any. This analysis seems to be ignoring these very, very salient points. Matthew Chapman. He's got the blue check mark of fame in the Twitter world. It's embarrassing that CNN hired this woman for over $1 million when she doesn't even have the most basic understanding of politics. Huh? That's funny. Andrew Testero, who does not have the blue check of fame in the Twitter world, said the most infuriating aspect of Casey Hunt's very bad take is the platform she has and the opportunity she'll be given to force facts into her narrative. They want to force facts into her narrative. The ego of a person who would post this won't allow them to back down. Richard Lawson, he's got the blue check. When you crunch the numbers, it is the people who won that lost. Because that seems narratively interesting, and also the raccoons that ate my brain are still in the backyard. Dear God, help. What? I don't even know why I read that to you. That dude's crazy. Anyway. All right. Well, that's enough of the Biden jackassery minute. I've been rambling for 40 minutes with no commercials. What is going on this week? That's just crazy. Crazy for feeling. I don't know the words. Anyway. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to end the show this week right there. So, no preparedness topic this week. My daughter got an interview with one of the senators to try and get a nomination into the Air Force Academy. And my wife and daughter are going to actually visit the Air Force Academy next week. So that's exciting news. A lot of stuff going on, you know. It's getting to be kind of crazy around here when you have a high school senior that hasn't picked her college yet. It's a complete 180 from my oldest daughter. We took her to two or three schools. She wanted to play lacrosse in college, and she also wanted to go into a specific program. So she narrowed her focus down to a subset of schools. She had really good grades. She had like a 3.9 something, 9.5 GPA or something. And so we went and visited the schools. She did some overnights, met some of the teams at the various schools, and chose the school. And the coach offered her scholarship and a spot on the team to play lacrosse. And we were done. We were done in like, I don't know, like
this time of her senior year, we were done. We didn't have any of this, I think. But I feel like she committed much earlier than whatever National Signing Day is when she could sign officially, but she had already been extended the offer and accepted it verbally. So this is a bit of a change because we didn't have to go through this process with our oldest child. So now that we're going through it with the youngest one, I'm here to tell you, it sucks. Having a kid who is brilliant, both having two kids that are so freaking smart and athletic and outgoing. One of them used all of her talents to get recruited and be done with the college selection process. And the other one, who's got an even better GPA because she's taken a bunch of AP classes. She's got like a 4.1. That's crazy. But, and she wants to be a pilot. So, you know, the funny thing is, so her first goal, as of right now, it's the Air Force Academy. She wants to go there. And so she's got to go. It's a two-step process. You got to get the Senate or congressional nomination or even a vice presidential one. And you have to be accepted to the school. So we've got all that in the running. And her backup school, it's actually just funny to say these words out loud. Her backup schools are Purdue. Has anybody ever said Purdue is my backup school? If I can't get into X, screw it. I'll just go to Purdue. Nobody says that, but my daughter did. All right, I'm gonna give you guys some funny stories. So this happened yesterday. What day is today? Wednesday. So I release these on Saturday. So Monday, maybe sometime. Anyway, earlier this week, the Purdue recruiter was at the high school, and my daughter went along with seven or eight other kids to go meet with their recruiter, go talk about the school, go ask questions. And my daughter was the only one that that didn't say that they were going into some kind of engineering program. Because most kids, when they say they want to be a pilot, they usually get pushed into or toward aeronautical engineering. But my daughter decided, no, that's she's got the intelligence for it. She's a whiz with math and science. So engineering might be a good thing for her. But she's meeting with the recruiter and she tells the recruiter, no, I'm want to do the professional flight major. And the recruiter was like, what? That's all right. Well, you know, that we don't get a lot of people from this school that want to major in that, especially young women. And Kate said, well, I hope that works in my favor and you guys give me enough money and I can go. And the recruiter was like, oh my God, that's pretty bold. And the recruiter said, well, you know, what other schools are you looking at? And she said, well, actually, Purdue's my backup school. I'm trying to get into the Air Force Academy. And then the other schools outside of that are North Dakota, at Purdue, and Ohio State, because they're 1, 2, 3 for public universities with flight training programs. Embry-Riddle is not cheap, so I don't. She's got it on her list, but I don't know. I don't think that we could afford that. But I was like, man, that's really bold. You got to tell the Purdue recruiter, you're my backup school after North Dakota. That just sounds funny coming out. Anyway, so that's the show for this week. You guys stay safe. And figure out ways to stretch your meals and your dollar, because inflation's here. It's gonna be here for a while, and you need to be smart about your purchases. And it's gonna be tough because they are really trying to screw over the American people at every turn. All in the name of undoing whatever Trump did. Orange man bad. We must put all of the tax rates back to where they were. You know, because we need that money to pay for all the programs that we're proposing in a budget. It's unbelievable. And I hope that the moderate Dems, like a mansion and a cinema and some of those other ones, I don't know how center they are, but they're more moderate, supposedly. They take one look at these things, these packages, and because right now I know that Manchin's saying this is crazy. That you guys are out of touch. I'm not supporting that. So if we get at least two or three that feel the same way, that this thing's dead. They can't get it out of the Senate. It'll never wind up on the installed president's desk. So, that's my take for the week. I'm hoping that I can get Scott back over here to recreate the interview that I screwed up and corrupted the file on. So maybe while my wife and daughter are visiting the Air Force Academy, I can get him to come over here and we'll redo it. Stay safe. Be good.
Happy Hunger Games, and may the odds be ever in your favor.